This is Michelle.
And this is Andrea.
And we are Black Girls Vibe. It is Sunday, April 28th, the year of our Lord, 2019. Andrea.
Yes.
Can you believe that as of tomorrow, we'll be through a third of the year gone?
It's pretty crazy, right?
A little bit, because if you recall, at the end of March, we were having a conversation about how crazy it was that the first quarter was gone. And now we are on some, well, now it's just a third is already just left the building.
Yeah. I mean, 2019 is a blur at this point.
Already.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be Christmas before we know it.
I agree with you, because like in some ways I feel like it's like we were just Super Bowl. Like it was just right. February.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
but
ma'am.
But then on the flip side of that, it's like we're so far removed. Like I don't even, it's hard to even remember that the Super Bowl was in Atlanta.
Right. Because it feels like kind of in some ways it just happened. And in some ways it was such a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here we are. And just as time has moved on, so has the sports world. And been an interesting week, I'd say. In college basketball news, recently minted NCAA champions, University of Virginia Cavaliers, have announced that they will not be able to accept an invitation from the White House. And it's fascinating because it's not clear that they've been invited.
Right.
So, you know, off top, it's like, you know what? Whenever you want us to have us come, we're not available.
Right. It's like, don't even have your people call our people.
It's not necessary. No. We have a thing.
We're busy.
Perpetually.
Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting development. Obviously, we're going to get into NFL draft stuff. But before we do that, talk about some other non-draft related news. Russell Wilson, you hear what my man did?
I did. So I guess he, you know, and don't we always hear him being, you know, very generous mm-hmm. and acknowledging the fact that he clearly is the face of, you know, the Seahawks, but
sure.
could not do what he does without those who protect him.
Yep.
Basically. So yeah, there was it $12,000 in Amazon stock?
$12,000 in Amazon stock for every lineman.
Yeah, that's impressive, and I would take that.
I would take it too, and I'd appreciate it so much more than $12,000 as a in gift that could possibly be taxable. So there's that. There's that. But what I really liked about it was from this athlete development standpoint, he gave it to them because we have to prepare for our lives after football.
Exactly.
And that just falls so in line with, some of my interests professionally. So thank you, Russell Wilson, for being a model for not only what I think a good teammate looks like, but a teammate who's like legitimately concerned about the current welfare, but the future of his teammate. So that's mm-hmm. very dope of Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
so.
Agreed. Because, that $12,000 could have been spent on something fleeting, jewelry, whatever, that would have only lasted in that moment. And so, yeah, you're right. That Amazon stock is going to, who doesn't do something, shipping or whatever, through Amazon? So the value of that is, something that they should have for quite some time.
Listen, I got an Amazon package arriving tomorrow. So there's that. I stay living on Amazon.
Right.
That Prime is a lifesaver. So very brilliant strategy on his part. Now, we've talked about a brilliant move from an NFL player. Let's talk about a less brilliant move. Your boy, LeSean McCoy. And let's say off top for our podcast, for our tribe listeners who have not seen Avengers Endgame, there will be no spoilers.
Nope, we don't do that here.
We don't engage in that kind of foolishness here. So you can continue to listen without having to worry about whether we're going to spoil the film for you. That's not going to happen. Not on our watch, not in this space. But for those of you who don't know, LaShawn McCoy, apparently, after having gone seeing the movie with his son on Friday, posted two tweets and then followed that up with a video on Twitter about a major plot, plot development in the movie. Major.
I didn't know he followed it up with a video.
Like a video explaining like why he had said what he had said in the tweet. Brilliant. Brilliant in the opposite of brilliant, right? So.
Oh, wow.
There's that. And folks are calling for his head. Like folks are calling for his job, for the Bills to release him because he's a monster destroying kids and adults' lives.
And adults, right.
And adults. But yeah, man, there was two tweets
and a video.
And here's an even colder part about it. The plot development and the character it involved, you know, some people will have taken the measure of like entering the names of the movie and the characters in it to block any tweets that came up about that topic.
Right.
This Joker misspelled the name. So even if you had your filter set, to not see any tweets that included the name because he misspelled it, it would have circumvented your filter.
Oh, no.
So like perfect storm. And to me, what's just as fascinating as his behavior is the reaction to it. Like, I understand legitimately, this is the biggest, I mean, this film has just shattered all kinds of opening weekend records. It's going to be one of the largest film, like I'm sure of all time, films of all time from a revenue generating standpoint. So I get the ire, I get the frustration, but demanding his job seems like a huge overreach as far as what the appropriate response to this should be. What do you do in the social media age? What do you do about that? What do you do?
I know. So I haven't seen it, and I know you have. And I've had some other friends as well who have seen it. And so for me, especially after I saw that he had double tweeted and now video. I've just been trying to stay off of social media. I've been minimizing for that reason, because I'm not that extreme with the, you know, oh, he should lose his job or whatever, but I don't want the spoiler alert. So I've just been, and that's really at this point, the only thing that you can do.
That's right.
Knowing that it's like you said, it's been an anticipated film. It's the Avengers. So it's, and people talk about it and people do these things and they tweet and they do this. And so you just have to minimize your interaction with social platforms.
That's right. I was fortunate in that I was able to go see it Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a sense of urgency around it because I feared I would encounter, even with my trying to avoid social media, I fear that, you know, all it takes is just you stumble upon just that right thing and it'll ruin the whole thing for you, right?
Right.
So that was one of the reasons why I had a sense of urgency to go ahead and see it. And I was lucky that I could go ahead and see it, because there's some people who live. I don't think this was a case where LaShawn McCoy was intentionally trying to spoil this for people. I just think he did not think it through. And that's not an excuse. No. There's no excusing it. No. I just don't think he thought it through. He was legitimately so invested in the movie and the plot line that he
wanted to talk about it.
And
decided to do that and with however many followers he has. Right.
He has mad followers. People who don't follow him started finding out, because as media started to report it, as folks started to talk about it, they were giving away the spoil. Like they were started, like it became this like avalanche effect. So even if you don't follow him and if you didn't see the tweet, like I read reports that told what the spoiler was, or that shared the tweet.
Right.
So, I mean, it was no harm to me because I had seen the movie by that point, but I'd have been hot. I'd yes. have been hot.
Yes.
Yep. So, well, LaShawn and Russell Wilson on completely ends, different ends of the spectrum. But fascinating individuals nonetheless.
Exactly.
So the big topic of the week, the NFL draft, man.
Yes. Yeah. So we talked about last episode who we thought would be drafted yep. first, yep. and we were spot on with
spot
that.
Spot on. Spot on.
No surprise there. So congratulations. None whatsoever. Kyler Murray.
Yep. And is it Joey Bosa or is it Nick?
I think it's Nick.
Yeah. One of the Bosas. And Quinnen Williams, Roll Tide, coming in number three.
Yes.
And you know what's cool about Quinnen, too, is that his brother, Quincy,
was
from Murray State, was drafted by Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was second or third round. So both the Williams brothers, hailing from Birmingham, we know in a high school, headed to the NFL, which is pretty cool.
It is exciting pretty for cool. them.
Did you, have you been following this storyline on Bosa around maybe his first year at Ohio State? He tweeted some anti-Kaepernick, pro-Trump sentiments. And in the weeks or months leading up to the draft this year, he, I think, deleted those tweets.
Mm-hmm.
And acknowledge like, yeah, you know, it's likely I could be drafted by the 49ers. So just to kind of, you know, make things okay with this market where Kaepernick played.
Right.
I'm going to just and since he was drafted, he's apologized. He's explicitly apologized for the tweets.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, the president congratulated him as the number two pick, but hasn't said peep to Kyler Murray, the number one pick.
Right.
But I'd be disingenuous if I acted surprised by that. And I'll leave that at that.
We'll just move past that. But I will say for Nick though, and I've seen some things because, yeah, I saw heard about the tweets and, you know, apologizing. And yeah, so I wonder how the fan base, especially those who supported Kaepernick, will react with him being the 49ers pick. But then I've seen some things too, because, you know, Photoshop it's a thing. And so there have been some things out there that I'm not quite sure if they're, you know, actual photos or, you know, from either like his previous tweets or even if they're current, some things that may have been a reflection of, you know, some things that he tweeted about in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not easy to kind of put those words out there and then try and retract from them, as we've seen some people try and do. So I just wonder how they'll embrace him out in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's a good point. We don't have a sense of how the 49ers fan base feels about Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
Like in all of the discussion and debate, some would say controversy swirling around him over the last several years, what we don't have is a sense of how they feel about him. But yeah, it should be interesting. I mean, it seems at a minimum, he was concerned enough about it to try to get ahead of it in some way.
Right. Right.
If that means anything. We'll look to see how these players do in their new with their new teams. We had a number of players selected from HBCUs.
Yes.
This time, most notably, Titus Howard from Alabama State.
Yes.
Was drafted, let me make sure I get this right, by the Texans.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. And drafted in the first round, which is unfortunately unusual for our HBCU players. They usually either come on a second, third round or as an undrafted signee. As several have, like today, I think. Let's see. Yurick Bethune from Alabama A&M, signed with the Falcons, and Jamie Gillen from the University Arkansas Pine Bluff, signed with the Browns since the draft ended. So, yeah, congratulations to all the HBCU players who made it to the NFL. Your alma mater.
Go Blazers. We had six, I believe, draft picks.
Yes.
I know.
And if anybody on our Facebook page wants to let me know how many players from Yale, Columbia, or Florida were drafted, that would be really cool. So I'll just wait for you to post that there.
Yeah, we'll give how many rounds are in the draft?
Three.
Okay. We'll give them some time to just do a little research.
Yeah. Just take your time and just let me know. Just hit me up on the page on that. Just let me know.
But
I'm sure that a player from one of those schools was drafted. I just don't have the data in front of me right now.
Right. So we'll get somebody out there to confirm that for us.
Listen, that's all I'm asking.
Yeah, and get back at you.
That's all I'm asking.
Put you at ease to see that one.
Yeah, at least one. Or several.
Go Blazers.
Congrats to UAB. And if anybody from my schools got drafted, then congrats to them too. But sorry, I don't have your names or numbers. If we get it, we'll acknowledge you later. You know what's really the story within the story for the NFL draft that a lot of people have been talking about is what the Giants did.
Or what they didn't do.
Or what they didn't do, depending on how you try to look at it, right?
Oh, yes. Very strong reactions to
very strong
to their
reactions.
Pick.
Very strong reactions. So I'm curious about your thoughts about the whole thing. Like, did you think they would take someone other than Haskins at number six?
I did.
You did?
I did.
You did not think they would take Haskins. I want to make sure I'm understanding you.
I did not think that they would.
Okay.
Especially so high. But, you know, it's the Giants, and that's typically what they do by taking other quarterbacks over some that should have been selected instead. But, you know, maybe they see something that we just don't know in their selection as to why they chose him over Haskins so high. So I don't know.
Andrea, forget engineering, forget planning, forget transit management. You should have been a diplomat, because the way you bobbed and weaved through that particular statement.
You know, it's shocking as to why they would make a pick when Haskins was a Heisman candidate.
Second place runner up. This is the first year that I can recall where the top three Heisman, what do you want to call them, candidates, were mm-hmm. all quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
They were all quarterbacks, two of whom would have been draft eligible, and they entered the draft.
Yeah.
And one remains available when you get on the clock at six.
Yeah, and so they just decided to select this quarterback from Duke. And I never saw Duke play, so I can't speak to. But I did see Haskins several times.
Mm-hmm.
And I clearly know what he's capable of and his performance and his stats.
Sure.
So that's why I say I'm not quite sure what the thought process was there.
Yeah, I'm not either. It is interesting to note the differences between Haskins and Jones, though.
Yeah.
Not just in performance.
What issues do you, or what differences do you mean?
Well, let me approach this thing from a different tact.
Yeah.
So, you know, for 20 years now, I've been a labor and employment attorney.
Yeah.
specializing in discrimination, Title VII most significantly. And I will say this, that in a more traditional employment context, there would be a lot of fodder and legal implications for this decision. And I'll leave it at that. I mean, when you have two candidates that are different,
mm-hmm.
who have such wildly varying levels of performance and qualifications,
mm-hmm.
and when the quantifiably least qualified of the two gets picked first, in a different employment context, there'd be some conversations.
Right. Yeah. I hear you. I agree. Yeah.
I'm trying to be a diplomat now, and it's awkward. But yeah, so the Giants appear to me, they've decided to reverse roles with the Browns. Like, they have literally, like, in philosophy and how operationally, they are becoming the Browns.
Well, so draft aside for a second. So mm-hmm. we clearly don't understand the pick with Jones over Haskins. So then what does this team now look like now that Odell is no longer there?
Right.
Eli is Eli.
Say more on that. Because you and I have had that conversation too many times. And it's relevant to this discussion. So.
Right. So Eli, I don't know off the top of my head what year he is in the NFL. Aging quarterback. We've seen the last few seasons that he's had. So he's, if he ever was the elite quarterback that some analyst said he was.
Say that.
He is not that.
Not that.
So, to me, yes, the quarterback was the right move for your first pick. I just don't think it should have been who they selected.
Okay.
Because you don't have any of the wide receivers that you had. So your star wide receiver is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an aging quarterback.
Yeah.
So as I've seen a lot of teams do, which clearly with Kyler Murray going as your first pick, you want a young quarterback because that's part of the whole process, right? Like you want to have, it's basically succession planning, right?
Sure. It's absolutely what it is.
So who is the current backup for the Giants? Right.
Is it Geno Smith? Where's Geno? It's Geno, right? But we don't, right. I mean, to your point though, right? Like,
yeah. But yeah, so that's, I don't understand. So not only do I not understand the draft move, the off-season trades and everything. So yes. So back to your point about the Browns that, mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've decided that they're going to philosophically become the Browns.
Yeah.
And, you know, going back to Eli, in my view, has never been an elite quarterback. You can't, or I can't, so I'll limit this to me. unlike the greats, you can't name something that Eli as a quarterback does well, or is like his signature skill set, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eli is the luckiest two Super Bowl ring having quarterback that ever walked the face of the earth.
Agreed.
But he's never been anybody's elite quarterback. And I know I'm stepping on some toes when I say that. So when a very lucky but not elite quarterback starts to face Mother Time on the field,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is what you have. And then add on top of that, I don't even know that Eli has, I mean, I'm sure Eli would be willing to teach quarterbacks and coach, But what does he have to teach them? I mean, that's a question I have. So you need to bring in as his successor someone who could, if he needed to, walk on the field right now and play.
Right.
And to the extent that Gettleman is contemplating the scenario where Jones sits at Eli's feet for multiple years. So Eli has multiple years left in the tank? Are we thinking that Eli's going to be here more than past this upcoming season? So, yeah, so this notion that Jones is going to sit under Eli,
mm-hmm.
a la the way that Mahomes did with Smith, or mm-hmm. you'll love this one,
mm-hmm.
a la the way Aaron did mm-hmm. with Favre.
Right.
That analogy makes Eli either Alex Smith or Brett Favre.
Right.
And it makes Jones Mahomes or Aaron. What are we talking about? what are we talking about? So, yeah, I've said all I'm going to say on this.
It was quite surprising because again, I have never seen. I can't even say I've seen a Duke football game. We'll just go there.
Yeah,
but yeah. I definitely have not seen Jones perform on the field. So, yeah, for him to go that high, I'm shocked. But I'll leave it to them. We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Because you know, if he has to step in, if something happens to Eli, then
we'll see. But I'm glad Haskins got picked up by the Redskins at 15.
Yeah, and it sounds like, too, you know, maybe he was anticipating. I mean, I think we all were anticipating him Absolutely. To go earlier.
Absolutely.
But I think he will channel that to as a motivation to perform well, which I expect him to. And, you know, in light of sliding behind those who probably should not have been selected.
Yeah, yeah. And
in the top 10, in the first round, but...
I can honestly say I've never given a rip about the Giants, Redskins matchup in the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
But that will be some TV to watch. See how that goes.
Yep.
Because I think Haskins is just going to light it up. When he's going to start because Smith went down with that horrific injury, didn't he?
Right.
Yeah. I'm just anxious to see how Haskins brings the energy he had on Thursday night once he got called.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that energy manifest itself on the field against the Giants.
Yes.
And I want to see the Giants D respond to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, can't wait until I haven't looked to see when they play, but it's dope that it's going to be twice. we'll have to mark that on the calendar.
Yes.
So anything else that we need to touch on this NFL draft madness? March Madness, NFL Madness. It's always something. It's
rolling right into the next. No, I think those were, you know, I think those were the highlights.
Yeah, so if we're done with that, then we're going to slide into our next, you know, topic, which is in the NBA realm. And not only is it in the NBA realm, I know it's a topic you don't want to talk about.
Oh, I'm intrigued. Do tell, Michelle.
Well, there's a certain player who was acquired by the Toronto Raptors and is having a pretty good season this year. Has won the O'Brien Trophy and has been finals MVP. Lockdown defender.
So you're no longer you're not talking about Danny Green.
I'm not talking about Danny Green. Not talking about Danny Green.
Okay.
This dude is played for, I think it was San Diego State. He's kind of low key.
Okay. Yeah.
Leaves all his talking on the, you know, he talks with his play.
This is starting to sound a little familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. Your boy Kawhi is on one, and we should talk about it. Now, you
Let's.
All. Yes. Yes. If you all could see the little dance that Andrea's doing right now, you would be tickled.
Let's talk about the claw.
The claw. Like, his hands, though. Like, seriously.
Right.
He has. There's this clip, and y'all should Google it if you haven't seen it, from last, I think it was either, or maybe it was earlier this season. My man dunks the ball, comes down. Mm-hmm. As the ball comes down, he claws it and brings it to his body so it never even touches the ground. How sway, like the right. eye-hand coordination, the span that your hand has to have to do all that.
Right.
And he was just so nonchalant with it.
Just turns right back around, starts running back up to the other side of the court.
Yeah, like, he handed the ball to the ref and headed back to, you know, get back on defense.
Yeah. Like, I didn't do anything here. There's nothing to see.
So the Toronto Raptors are playing the Philadelphia 76ers in the second round of the NBA playoffs, Eastern Conference. And Kawhi put 45 on them last night.
Yes, he did.
Came close to breaking a record in that area, but they sat him down with, say, 4 or 5 minutes left in the game. But I think he would have needed to have gotten to 50 to break the scoring record or whatever. But they let him go ahead and sit down with 4 or 5 because, you know, I think even now they try to, you know, still manage his minutes. But that game was kind of a, if I'm recalling correctly, like, they got up and the Sixers never really came out the hole.
Yeah, that's what I remember. And I missed the early parts of the game, but from what I saw to the end, that was pretty much the case. So, yeah, he definitely did his thing. It was a beautiful thing to watch. He is my favorite player.
Yes,
in the league been for some time.
We know, yes.
Okay, well, I
no,
just
no,
thought
but continue
I'd,
to,
look,
but,
I thought I'd share again.
Well, let me say, I know. Our listeners might not know of your fandom when it comes to the claw, but it's a real thing.
It is very real.
Like, so much so that you went to the game when they played the Hawks.
Twice this season.
And unfortunately, he didn't show at all for the first one. He wasn't in the building.
Correct.
Right. And then on the second one, he was there, but in plain clothes, or like on the sideline in plain clothes. Is that, or in a suit?
I think he was probably like in a warm up, if I remember, but he did not play.
But he was physically there.
He was physically there this time. He made the trip to Atlanta inside of the arena, but on the bench he stayed.
Did you get a picture of him on the bench at least, though?
I did.
I'm sure.
And standing a few times. So, yes.
It's pitiful. It's just pitiful. So, listen, tell us what it is about Kawhi that does it for you as a basketball player.
So, it really is the fact that his game is just an all-around great game. And so it's interesting to see and exciting for me to see a player of that size who has the defensive skills but then has developed a really great shooting game. So he's kind of the – and, I mean, he can guard clearly that – again, we've talked about the span of the
– hands.
Right, the hands. I mean, that's – if he could do nothing else, the fact that you're – yeah. But then, yeah, just from anywhere, from making a three to the dunk. So the fact that he's a good offensive and defensive player and really just leaves it all, like you said, on the court. So he plays the game and then and you don't hear anything about him.
Yep.
Off the court, off season, it's like, I'm here. He practices hard. This is what I'm here to do. And then I'm done. So for me, it started the year, I think before, the year before he won, the Spurs won the championship and he was the finals MVP. And then I think he's been defensive player at least 1 year It may have been the year after that. But that, I think, was when others started to notice him. But I just, I think it was really just his demeanor. Young player, was under the radar, but just had an all-around game. And look at him now.
Yeah, yeah. You think he stays in Toronto?
Oh, I was conflicted when he went to Toronto because I questioned, you know, with all of my good knowledge, I questioned the move. But I think if they can keep the team that they have, and because they gel well, if they all stay healthy, I would like to see him stay. I really don't want to see him make another move. And mm-hmm. I don't know where he would go.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the Lakers were the talk at one point. But right. So, yeah. I mean, they've got a really good chemistry there in Toronto. So, my only concern is a non-basketball concern. And that's Drake.
That's Drake. The Drakers. It's a real thing. It's a real thing.
That's my one concern, but I would not be upset if he stays in Toronto. But
the Drake curse.
The Drake curse.
No, it's real. Like, so much so that you see that article about the Italian squad that, like, the like manager or whatever told his players, like, do not associate yourselves with Drake in any way, shape, or form.
Right. It's, yeah, we've seen it happen.
Oh, we've seen it happen. We've seen it happen. I mean, it's directly affected us.
Exactly. So, but yeah, but no, it's great to see him back after, you know, the ordeal that we know what was last season with the Spurs. So, yeah, glad to see him in the playoffs and doing his thing and setting records, and hopefully they'll make it to the finals.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I'm a fan of Kawhi's. I will admit, I'm not at your level. But I appreciate him for the same reasons you do. Like, he does his thing. He's humble about it. He's quiet about it. And he plays both ends of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't, you know, he's not, like, showboating offensively and not getting back on D. Like, he's in my view, the most balanced player out there.
Mm-hmm.
The most balanced. Another player that I think doesn't get enough love, but he got it this week, is Damian Lillard.
Oh,
did you see the savagery?
My only regret is that I did not see it live.
Me too. I missed it. I didn't see it live. Everything about that was so beautiful.
Yes.
The wave bye-bye.
Yeah.
The way he looked into the camera when, like, this team mauled him. All of it was just so beautiful.
Yeah.
So beautiful. I wish that Paul George hadn't played himself and said that it was a bad shot. Like, that says to me he hasn't done his scouting when it comes to, what do they call him? Logo Lillard?
Logo Lillard.
My man shoots from the logo. Like, that's his range. That's his starting range.
Right.
And if you look at that shot from, not from the angle from the back from which most outlets were showing it, but from the camera that's actually facing him, if you look at him, he is not, Paul George is in front of him, defending him fairly well. He's not completely up on him, but fairly well. When he jukes him and steps to the side to take the shot, he's not giving Paul George any eye contact.
Mm-mm.
His eyes are strictly on that basket. Like, right. it's, just the focus he had for what he executed in those few seconds, once he crossed over the half. Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant.
I'm like, it's not a bad shot when you make it.
When you make it. It's not a bad shot when you make it. And he's one of, he and Steph and maybe one other player are the ones that have better odds than most to make it.
Right.
So, yeah, it wasn't a bad shot at all. Just ice in his veins. That's all you can say about that kind of shot.
That is it. And just call it what it is. Just say, you know, it was a great shot. He nailed it. And
yeah,
that's just what
like
it is.
It's a bad break for us. We'll have to think about that shot. I'll be thinking about that shot all summer. But don't call it a bad shop, right? It just makes you look real small.
No.
It makes you look real small. So get your weight up, and we'll see you in November. I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, these playoffs are pretty exciting. So we're in the second round, and we got, now we have, let's see, the Nuggets knocked off the Spurs in the first round. It's a game six or seven, game seven last night. So that means that it'll be Denver and Portland. I guess their series may start either tomorrow or Thursday or Tuesday. We already talked, we have the Warriors playing the Rockets. That game just ended a couple of hours ago. Kind of controversial, a no call on, was it Livingston who stepped into, it was kind of like that play, it was kind of like the play that ended Auburn's run in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
I think Chris Paul went up for a shot and Livingston and guarding him came down in his landing zone, but they didn't call it. And it's either Chris Paul or James Harden, but whomever it was, Chris Paul got really mad about it to the point where he got ejected with 4.4 seconds left in the game. So that should be a good series. Rockets and Warriors. Toronto, Sixers, Celtics and Bucks. And I think that, did the Bucks pull that one out today? No.
The Celtics won. Yeah.
Kyrie and Al Horford, who I'm a fan of his.
I am too.
I'm a fan of Horford's.
I was sad when he left the Hawks, but glad that he's with a good team and playing with Kyrie, and that the Celtics are, they've got a good squad.
I will say this, like, it is, we've talked about this a couple of times. It is, I don't want to use the word refreshing, but I am enjoying the fact that we have, we're going into, or we're in playoffs where LeBron isn't a part of it. And that's not so much me being anti-LeBron, like, as a player. It's just when someone has so dominated the playoffs from consistently being in it and going deep into the playoffs and going to the finals so many consecutive years, it's nice to see things kind of get turned on their head and see other teams kind of assert themselves and have a presence. Again, I do think, it's one of those things where I think LeBron is good for the league and, it's always great to have him around and it's great. It's good to have him in the finals, but I will say that it's nice to have other players kind of receive some attention during the playoffs and not have any of the storylines be around LeBron as they tend to want to be.
Yep. No, I agree. I thought about that myself the other day. It is refreshing to have some new teams. And then, for players like Lillard and, and Kawhi and other folks to get a little more recognition, who are just kind of been seen, not even underdogs, but just the exposure that they've been able to get. Cause I mean, playing well, but not having to be in the shadow of a player like LeBron. So.
Yeah. In the same way that I would imagine, like if the Warriors split up, like if they lose a piece, like with them having so consistently been, representing out of the West or whatever for all these years, like probably could say the same thing if they don't make it into the playoffs or not as far into the playoffs next season. Like, I think there's something to be said about the healthiness of attrition and turnover and new faces generally. Whether you're talking about a team or a specific player, it's always healthy to kind of have some level of turnover. So I guess we'll see. So we'll continue to keep our eye on the NBA playoffs. I'm sure they'll be, we'll be deep into round two by next week. And heck, maybe some, if I don't imagine many of these series will be four and outs.
No, I wouldn't think so. But they've been exciting though. I've enjoyed them. I haven't seen all of, even going to the first round, back to the first round, I haven't seen all of the different series, but it's good to see good competition and across both conferences.
Absolutely.
And some really good quality games.
I agree. Couldn't agree more. So, as we wrap up, as we always do, we get into our Black Girl Magic moment. And this week, we want to salute and shout out Miss Nicole Lynn. She's the first Black woman representing a top three pick in the NFL draft. She represents the aforementioned Quinnen Williams.
Roll Tide.
And she's just 29 years old. She is a sports agent with Lil Wayne's Young Money, APAA Sports. And she joined them through an acquisition. They acquired the former agency that she was with. And that was one of the top NFL agencies. And she was the first female rep at that agency. So she's been, you know, breaking records and making history with everything she's done professionally. You know, grew up in poverty in Oklahoma and ended up going to University of Oklahoma, I think, for both undergrad and ultimately got her law degree after working on Wall Street. But very impressive young lady. Kudos to her. And you know, obviously, I think I can speak up for both of us when I say we love her client, Mr. Williams, and hoping he does well with the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
No.
I'm losing my mind.
The Jets.
Getting all my wires crossed. Yeah. I'm not. I don't like the Jets, but I will support Quinnen. Like if to the extent that you can make a distinction. Not really. I was low key, if I'm being honest with you all, I was low key hoping that he would go before Bosa, but
same here.
I understand if, you know, the Niners didn't have a need for a Quinnen, but there's part of me that just wanted him to go before Bosa for a number of reasons, but I knew that was not likely. But shout out to Nicole Lynn. For next week, we'll see what's going on in these sports streets. I'm sure it's never a dull moment. We will see if LeSean McCoy tweets any more spoilers about Endgame or any other important, you know.
Right. Like, is there another movie that people have been, like the entire world has been anxiously awaiting for over a year to see? That's premiering next week.
Right. You know, next week what we might tee up, because it's fairly new news, but this whole issue around Tyreek Hill.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot to unpack there, so maybe we can put that on the agenda for next week, and maybe there'll be even more to say from a comparative standpoint. Robert Kraft is you know, yet currently engaged in trying to suppress that video of him being serviced.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see, to be able to compare maybe next week how the NFL and the Chiefs respond to Hill versus the NFL's response to what we know about Robert Kraft's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea, you got anything else? Anything you need to say to the tribe?
No, I could talk about Kawhi more, but I'll spare them
all.
Well,
you know, if you need to cook on Kawhi a little bit longer, we have the space for that, you know?
No, we'll see what outstanding performance he has in the games coming up this week, and if we can just revisit that next episode.
Well, we will put a pin in that, and, you know, if you need to talk about Kawhi every week through the playoffs, and as long as the Raptors are in it, then let's do it for sure. This is a Kawhi zone, clearly,
all
ladies
right.
and gentlemen. We love us some Kawhi all day. But listen, guys, thanks again for tuning in this week. Check us out on all the platforms on which you can find podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and others. Check us out on social media. We are on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. At every platform, we can be found at Black Girls Vibe Tribe. That's Black Girls Vibe Tribe. Follow us. be a part of the conversations we have in our threads. We'd love to see you there. And we'll talk to you next week. How long did that go? Like 45 minutes? I guess I can turn this off. Yeah, I'm like, wait.